Okay, so let's see. So we're continuing on. So we're on page hey, right? The bottom right. Omar oy b'mayim hanal. Okay, so now Rav Chaim Vital transitions from talking about just the mile of Pinyas HaTorah versus Nigla, just in terms of how much time to spend on one and so on and so forth. Now he talks about the inning of Pinyas HaTorah and its place in the process of Gula, of redemption. So he says like this, Omar Rabbi Maimar Hanal, the Zohar that we started with, so the Zohar continues, again, the first passage was talking about how the Shekhinah HaKadosh wants to find a place to be comfortable in. And so she goes to people that are Lamed Torah, because that you would expect that would be the most comfortable place for her. The problem is that if those people are Isaac and Torah for their own personal benefits, whether it be Begashmias or Beruchnias, that repels the Shekhinah, that repels Ruach HaShel Mashiach. And so what the Shekhinah needs is people that are learning Torah for the sake of the Shekhinah. And so the way in which a person becomes sensitive to learn Torah for the sake of the Shekhinah is primarily through Pinyas HaTorah. And so that's what we saw. That was the first part of the Zohar. So now the Zohar continues. Omar Oy B'mayim Hanal. The Maimer and the Zohar, that passage continues. We'll begin Da. So what he's going to do is he's going to first quote a couple lines from it, explain it a little bit, and then quote a large passage of it. And we'll sort of, meander our way through it, but then he'll explain. So it might, so you have to have patience a little bit. Probably have to have patience with me, but especially with this. It'll begin Da. So because of this, the Zohar continues. So the Zohar quotes a pasuk in Shir Shir, Mishbati Eschem Benois Yushalayim, Im Te'iru Vim Te'iru V'chulu Asahav Ashatechbat. So the Zohar quotes a famous pasuk in Shir Shir, that the Hashem is... Hashem is making us take an oath. Ishbati Eschem, he's being mashbia. Benayis Yerushalayim, he's Knesset Yisrael. Im te'iru v'im te'iru sahav asher techbats, that we should awaken the love at the right time. So there's a famous interpretation of that in the Gemara Ksubas, right? The Gemara says in Ksubas that this is, the interpretation of this is that before Klal Yisrael went into Golus, the Jewish people were forced to take an oath on some level that we're not going to be allowed to force the coming of Mashiach before the right time. How would you force the coming of Mashiach before the right time? So there's different ways. Rashi says even through davening, like even to force things. Usually the way that's interpreted is with kavanas and yichudim. There has been historical situations where tzaddikim, usually not by themselves, but with a chabur of tzaddikim, try to bepoil things like that. And proof is it hasn't worked until now. Usually it comes with like bilbulim. The most famous example of that in modern history was certainly with the Chayz of Lublin. There was a tekufa where the Chayz of Lublin wanted to bring Mashiach, so he had a whole mahalach, him with a number of other tzaddikim, that they were going to be poil something on Sukkot of that particular year. And we spoke about this one time. I think the Maisa is a famous story that each one of the tzaddikim, it's like something happened, by one of them, the tzaddik was niftar, the other one, it was Pesach, I'm sorry, there was like a sichsuch in the family between his rebbetz and his mother-in-law and a credible bulim. Every house was a different inyan. So things like that happened. By the Rashash, there was a tradition also that he and a few of his talmidim were Isaac in trying to bring geula, and it didn't work. And because of that, each one of the talmidim, I don't know if it was Rashash himself, might not have been Rashash, it might have been only the talmidim after his astalkus. I think it was after his astalkus. So each one of the talmidim, something happened. Taras Chacham, I think the tradition is because of that, he had to be very, very poor. And in fact, he was very, very poor. The Chidah had to go into Golus, which is why, like on the outside, historically the Chidah traveled like this. The later part of his life, he was just Isaac and traveling. And the simple shot is because his job was to collect tzedakah for Eretz Yisrael. But the tradition is because he was Isaac in this endeavor of forcing Mashiach, his punishment was Golus. There are things like that took place. So Rav Chaim Vital says a chiddush like this. So, and as again, that's a simple shot. In this Shavuah, you can't force Mashiach until the right time. What does it mean the right time? Okay, that's a good question. Pirush Advarim. So he means as follows: Ki inei ha'isa Shavuah hagadol lelakim. There was an oath that was taken to Hashem shalay oiris agula, that the gula should not be awakened. Ad she'isa hava tia b'chefetz baratzein taif. So the way he interprets it is again that the gula should not be awakened until it's a time of where the Rabbanu Shel Olam is very happy with the Gula taking place. In other words, In other words, the Rabbanu Shlomo, you know, Mashiach is always a good thing, but there's Toiv and there's Toiv Moed. There's Emes and Emes Lamita. There is a way of Gula that the Rabbanu Shlomo, like, Shtukel B'diavad. We want it, but there's another Gula that's L'chatchila. And if the Gula were to be awakened before L'chatchila, that's where we're being made as an oath, we're taking an oath. In other words, like this, the way he's interpreting it, it's not the pshat, like, why not force it? Like, why not? Why not? So Reb Chaim Vital is explaining, because if it's forced, it's not, meaning, here's the problem. Here's the problem. The problem is, Im zoch lach yishana, like, if we earn Mashiach, then it will come early. So that's called forcing it. What does it mean? So he says that the inyan is that we don't want Mashiach to come in a way that's not chayfet v'rotzein tov. Well, of course we want Mashiach to come as fast as possible. And of course we could be pile Mashiach to come as fast as possible. But there's two ways for Mashiach to come as fast as possible. One, in a way that the Rabbanu Shem was like, okay, fine. Like, begrudgingly, Mashiach coming. And then there is, like, b'chefetz b'ratzim tayv, that, like, the Rabbanu Shem is really happy about it. What's the difference? So he says like this. If Mashiach were to come when it's not, like, begrudgingly a little bit. So he says, keben ha'ivetz aviv, v'ayil b'kol paltun delay, b'kol ganzin delay. He says that the way in order for Mashiach to come, b'chev it's ratzon atoiv, is if it comes through avodas Hashem of pnimis haTorah. When it's coming through pnimis haTorah, then that results, then the effort of gula that results from that is a gula that's b'chev it's ratzon atoiv. But if it's coming from, if a gula is coming in a way of nigla, then that's called forcing in a way that's not chayvitz ratzon atayv. So again, like we said from the very beginning of this akdam, the reason why I keep on stressing this is because it's easily misinterpreted. So again, this can be read as also like, okay, so that means it's just like everyone should learn Zayar, everyone should learn Arizal, and like that'll be Poyel Mashiach. And again, like we saw from the very beginning, the Nakuda is, the Rabbanu Shalom wants, and that's what he says in the last line, Amanas L'Kava Pras. The Nikud is that Gula should come, Achishana, very, very quickly, emanating from an Avodas Hashem that's bringing Gula for the purposes of helping the Shechina. And the only way, not the only way, but the most likely way in which a Yid is sensitized to want Mashiach for the sake of the Shechina is through Pnimis HaTorah. However, if a Yid is not sensitized through Pnimis HaTorah and only has Nigla, then unless they're a very, very big neshama, then it's most likely their lens is going to be almanas l'kabel pras. And then geula is going to be almanas l'kabel pras. What's the almanas l'kabel pras? So maybe it's to get rid of the Kazakhs, you know what I mean? Or maybe it's in every version of the Kazakhs in each generation. Maybe it's in order to just be able to sit and learn, you know? Maybe it's just in order to... these are all beautiful, and there's all sorts of levels of, like, noble aspirations, right? So one person wants Mashiach, so you don't have to go to work anymore, right? Another person wants Mashiach, so the Chas V'Shalom, so there's no sickness and there's no Chas V'Shalom danger. Another person wants Mashiach in order to stick it to the guy. Like, can you imagine what it would be like on the news when they announced that we were right the whole time? Those are all good and holy if it's fueled by realizing that all of those unbelievable things is an expression of the Shechina becoming redeemed. So in other words, this is the Nakuda. It's not just like Torah. Nigla is the Levush, right? Is the body of the soul of Torah. So the same thing over here. When you want Mashiach, that's all correct. You can want Mashiach for all those reasons and more. But the Nakuda Pnimis behind all those reasons is that, and the Tzad HaShava, the common denominator amongst all those reasons is that each one of those are different ways in which the Shechina is finally expressing herself as the holiest, greatest entity in existence. And again, the Shechina equals Knesset Yisrael. So in any so all these things are true. All these things are true. But it's just, where is it coming from? Is the person's motivation just stopping there, or is it I want those things because it expresses, because ultimately it's the Shechina expressing herself as, you know, as Begavim Raiman. And that's why I want a Shia.
I'm looking past 22 because...
Why?
Because the only possibility of looking critically at somebody who wants Mashiach for the wrong purpose is someone coming from a Chitzenis Dika perspective. Someone who's running Pnimis, regardless of what the motivation is for Mashiach, can always interpret it in a Pnimis Dika way.
100%, but that's already a very sophisticated, even someone that's Isaac and Mimis Atar, that's already, you've ding, you've reached it. Like people that are that begin their entrance into Pnimis HaTorah still don't have that refined look. You know, so it still takes time. Huh? It's not, so the truth is, it's not even Shloi Lishma. If a person were to articulate, let's say you have two Yidden, right? Reuven and Shimon. Reuven wants Mashiach for the Shechina. Shimon wants Mashiach for all these ulterior motives. They both say the same thing. They both will be able to say that I want Mashiach because there's not going to be sickness and there's going to be Parnasa Berevach and we'll be able to sit and learn and the Goyim will be able to acknowledge the truth and it's going to be Gevaldik and the sun will be shining and all that. They're all going to say the same thing, but what's pushing it? What's driving it? Is there a twinkle in the eye when they say that? Like, what's the soul behind it? So if there's a soul, by Reuven, it's the soul is, because all of this is the expression of something much greater than the sum of its parts that's going on, which is the Shechina and Knesset Yisrael being shown to be the highest revelation of divinity in the universe. Why do I care about that? Even Reuven won't be able to explain why. Because you're a piece of the Shechina. But again, Pnimis HaTorah, if a person's approaching it in the right way, then it sensitizes the soul for that Chelek Elokami Mal Mamish, the piece of the Shechina inside of you, to express itself. And so everything that you say is coming from that truth, from that place. Whereas a Yid, let's say Shimon, that doesn't have the refined of Pnimis HaTorah, he's still saying all the official, he's right with everything that he's saying. There's nothing wrong about it. That's what he's saying. So there's, if Geula were to come from just the Shem, like if Klal Yisrael holding still by Shimon, then that's a gula, but it's not b'chefetz b'ratzin toif. When it's from a Reuven, so I'm just giving Reuven as an example. Then by Reuven, then it's b'chefetz b'ratzin toif. So this is why there are those tzaddikim that so you ask a kasha: what's pshat with the Chayzer Ublin? What's pshat with the Tamid Rashash? They're trying to push gula. And Rashi says Mufurish over there, even to force it with tefillas and yichudim. So how do they? So you're going to tell me that they were doing it because they're holding like other shita? It's not like Rashi. So Mashiach will come now like Rashi. Like So what's the kavana? The answer is like this: they were coming from obviously Pnimis HaTorah. It's kavanas and yichudim, and they're coming from the motivation of the Shechina. So they're tapping in to techbats. They're tapping into, usually when we think of it as imtir, like this shvu is, don't force Mashiach until atcha techbats, until it's b'chefetz ratzon ha'tayv, so it's like optimal. So usually we think of that as a timeline, right? There's a certain time in Jewish history where now it's techbats. And so now the question is, when is that timeline? So this person says it's now. This person says it's 200 years too early, 200 years too late. V'chulu v'chulu. Everything, you have to understand, when we talk about timelines, it's bechinas. There's a bechina that's called techbats. And the bechina that's called techbats is when your avoida and your cheshek for Mashiach is for the sake of the Shechina. Specifically as it's refined through the lens of Pnimis HaTorah. So all those tzaddikim that are trying to bring gula in that way, through Pnimis HaTorah, in a way, for the sake of the Shechina, they're tapping into that tkufa, to that truth that's called Atcha Techbats. Now, it is true, there might be a tkufa in world history where that ruach dominates Jewish consciousness. And there could be a tkufa where every yid, on whatever level, is holding by that inyan. And it could be that those tzaddikim would acknowledge that maybe that tekufa, as far as the Jewish people are concerned, it hasn't been revealed yet. But they were tapping into it individually. Now the problem is that there are no gula, something that has to be a national or world. It's Klal Yisrael Dik. So the problem is to have individual neshamas that take upon themselves to bring that, and when those neshamas. There's only four neshamas that you can say is all of Klal Yisrael. It's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe. That's it. And the truth is, I've mentioned this from the Leshem, that the Leshem says, so Taka, why didn't Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov bring Mashiach? It's all of Klal Yisrael. So he says, Anachanami. The reason why they didn't is because Yaakov Avinu became Bar Mitzvah the day of Avram Avinu's Histalkus. So there was never a day where all three of us were Gedolim at the same time. But Anachanami, if Avram Avinu lived one more day, and Yaakov Avinu would have, obviously, Bashkacha Pratis wasn't supposed to be like that, right? But this happens all the time. Not all the time, but I'm saying not all the time. But you have a handful of it. And throughout Jewish history, there is this very, very strong temptation on the hand of very, very big neshamas to partner together, to see themselves as the chariots for all of Klal Yisrael. And it's very tempting to do that. But it's, unless you are like sort of activating Nishmas Moshe with that in its fullest sense, it's not going to be all of Klal Yisrael. Even the Dal Shenichnasu LePardes, the four tzaddikim that went into Pardes, or one didn't turn out to be a tzaddik at the end, right? So you have Ben Azai, Ben Zayma, Elisha Ben Uvuya, and Rabbi Kiva. Those four tzaddikim, they went into Pardes. For what? Because there was Ben Azmanim, they had nothing else to do. The answer is each one of them represented one of the four one of the four legs of the Merkava. All those four tzaddikim together saw themselves as the collective whole of Klal Yisrael. And each one of them took upon themselves a quarter of all the Avoida of Klal Yisrael and Galus. And their intention was, us coming together, we'll be able to bring Mashiach. Why were they wrong? The answer is because as big as even these neshamas were, it's still not all of Klal Yisrael unless you're Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, or Moshe. So that's why we're stuck in Galus, because it's very hard for it. So Acha Techbats means that there should be a ruach, a spirit overtaking Knesset Yisrael of wanting Geula for the sake of the Shechina, which specifically comes through the refinement of Pnimis HaTorah. So you had, again, that's what you had in history, certain pockets of tzaddikim that felt that amongst them, they're grouping with each other, and everything they're doing is B'Shem Kol Yisrael, obviously, but maybe they can tap into that techbats. Hasn't been the Ratzon Hashem until this month yet, you know. But again, so nowadays when there's no question about it, there's a pervasive ruach of Pnimis HaTorah. Then now you go back to what Yochanan said. Now it's a question of just interpreting what people are saying in the right way, because like I said, the language that a Yid is going to use to articulate why they want Mashiach is going to be the same things, like the Rambam says, why you want Mashiach, why the Chacham and the Tzaddik want Mashiach, because we'll be able to focus our attention on knowing Hashem and so on. That's like the official, huh? That the checklist. That's what you know. The official. That's the program. Like but is there a sparkle in the eye when you say that? So instead of gathering together a handful of mukubalim that they're going to be pile things, clearly it's been shown Baratz and Hashem that that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants every year to participate in the process. That's clear. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want it to come. Because again, that's the Nakuda. The whole inin of Acha Techbats means for the sake of the Shechina. The Shechina means every single Yid. So to say that it's a group of tzaddikim that are going to be poil something on behalf of Klal Yisrael, when all of Klal Yisrael is sort of like sitting in the dark, not chapping what's going on, all of a sudden it happens that they're... It's a shtickle anti what Techbats means to begin with. So.
Is it
a kid with Mafilin? Huh?
It's like
Mafilin? Yeah, so and Moshe Rabbeinu says, like, it's not happening. Like, that it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So one of the things that a person can do, is just interpret that that's what everyone is doing and that's what everyone's holding. Like that's to a certain degree maybe, more of a. The Ramchal says such a thing. He says that a gula that's like through Moshe Rabbeinu. He compares it to an apple that's being eaten by a worm. I've quoted this mashal before. The worm eats the apple on the inside. When you look at the apple, you don't see any change. You don't see what's going on. So you're screaming and crying, Chai V'Kayim, oh, this apple's mamish, it's not getting consumed. Like the apple represents Golas, right? So it's like it's not breaking apart. It's getting, it's like Yaakov, you know, on the ladder, and the dream. He sees the Malach of Esav, keep him going high. It's not. Until finally, enough flesh is consumed on the inside, and the apple collapses. And then what do you realize? You realize the whole time it was being consumed. Right? So, you know. So the Agula of Moshe Rabbeinu is this like very strange way of it not being so obvious that everyone is participating, but we are. So when you have those pockets of tzaddikim that are trying to bepoil something in this way, part of the issue is that endeavor itself gives the indication that no one else is participating but them, which itself is not Ashatechbatz. So it has to be in a way that you have, tzaddikim should be piled, of course tzaddikim have to be piled, these things, but in a way of at the same time, somehow, in some way, articulating that this is what every Yid is really doing, they just happen to be expressing it more clearly. But every Yid is participating in that. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem does. Listen, why didn't, if Mashiach hasn't come yet, it's only for one reason. It's because Hashem wants it to be Barachimim, which means that Hashem wants every Yid, every neshama, to be involved with it. The Rebbeinu Hashem doesn't want Mashiach to come, and there's going to be a few people being able to celebrate, you know, their participation. Everyone else is just like in the audience. It's not the Rebbeinu Hashem. If Hashem wanted that, then it's just the Madrigas. Okay, how many people are celebrating? How many people in the audience? So then it's already like, okay, so what are you waiting for so long? The answer is Hashem doesn't want any audience. Hashem wants every neshama to participate. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So we. Yeah, 100%. It's the same. Well, the truth is, I mentioned this before, Golas is terrible, right? Which means that any particular moment in Golas that's something good, that's Arishal Mashiach. That's Arishal Mashiach. So every, because there's no, everything about Golas is terrible. There is no redeeming, like, everything's terrible. So anything in Golas that's good, person's becomes healthy, person's a mikashidach, a chat, whatever the Indian is, that's Arishal Mashiach. So again, this is what I mean to interpret the fact that all of Klal Yisrael are always davening for Mashiach, and always davening for Mashiach for the sake of the Shechina. So, you know, again, it's, that's, and then, you know, listen, if Hashem, you know, it should be Achishan, it should be very, very quickly, but in a way that there's no Yidden left out in the cold. And I don't mean left out in the cold, Chas V'Shalom, that Gula won't happen to them. But even if Gula happens to them, they should feel, they should know that they've participated in it. That's also, that's what stops him from sleeping well at night. Not so much that, you know, every is going to be redeemed, but that they should know that they're participating in it. That's crucial. That's crucial. And that's techbats. That's the chayfetz ratzon type of the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's really what he wants.
It's the same over again. Like the same reason why.
Yeah, it's the same reason for creation. That's ponim b'ponim. In other words, there shouldn't be any Yid that experiences Mashiach achar b'achar. Ponim b'ponim. That's even lashon, the lashon that the Jewish people use is makabel pnei Mashiach zekein. Right. It should be ponim b'ponim. Why ponim b'ponim? Okay, Mashiach comes. Like, I don't care. Whatever. We have to be makabel pnei Mashiach.
Relatable. Appreciate it.
There's a ma'isa. Yochanan sent this to me the other week, whatever it is. Very quickly. That's not much late. Just 2 minutes. So there's a... Soloveitchik said this. I always heard this ma'isa. Maybe I read it somewhere, but then I saw it from the thing. And there's Nakudis that... So Soloveitchik had a Messiah from Ruchayim Volozhiner. It's like a Gevaldige Gezach. There's so much sight in this Maisa. And when Soloveitchik quoted something, you can know it was like B'dikta Gadol. You know, he's a brisker. So the Maisa, they asked Reb Chaim Volozhiner, what's going to be like when Mashiach comes? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, I'll tell you, Marshall. He said, I'm going to come up. But kids are Nimrod, so I'm not being medactic like a brisker in the Maisa, but it's something like this. So he says, I'm going to come home from davening yeshiva in Volozhin. And my wife is going to say to me, Chaimke, you want to have breakfast? Sit down for them to eat. And I'm going to say, let me be mine in a sugya. I have to give a shir soon. So I'll learn a little bit, prepare. And then afterwards, I'll eat. So his Rebbe is going to say, okay, fine. So I'll keep the soup on the fire. Just make sure it doesn't get burnt. Fine. So the Chaim Volozhin says that I'm going to sit down to learn. And all of a sudden, I'm going to sense that like the sunlight, like it's just brighter. It's just warmer. And then I'm going to notice that the birds are chirping more beautifully. Just that something is different. And then I'm going to hear outside from the window that there's like a tumult. So I'm going to stick my head out. And with the examples of the shoemaker or something. The shoemaker. So shoemaker is going to be running down the block. And I'm going to say, Yankel, what's happening? It's a tumult. So he says, Rabbi, you don't know? Mashiach came. So he said, oh, Mashiach came, Mamish. That's where the birds, and that's the flower. Everything is blossoming. That's Mamish what it is. Then he's going to have a problem. Last Shabbos, one of my buttons on my kapata fell off. And I told my Rebbetzin after Shabbos to sew it. But she's like, okay, we have a whole week. Whatever, I'll get to it when I get to it. And now Mashiach's going to come. Now we're going to be Mekalpane Mashiach with my Shabbos kapata that's missing a button. So Reb Chaim says, then I'm going to be Mefalpo. What's better? What's better? To be Mekalpane Mashiach with Shabbos with Godim that are missing a button? Or to go with a weekday kapata that's whole. That'll be the pilpul that I'm going to be going through right now. And then in the middle of all of that, my wife is going to be running in, and she's like, Chaim, the soup is burning. The soup is burning. I'm like, yeah, soup is burning. We have to be Mekal B'nei Mashiach. You know what? You wear your big day Shabbos, I'll wear my big day chol, and we'll go be Mekal B'nei Mashiach. It's a maisa. Half of the fell, the gemaisa. Half of the fell, the gemaisa. You can't leave out your weekday clothing from being a Kalvin Mashiach. You understand? Because to a certain degree, the weekday clothing is even more b'shleimus than the Shabbos clothing. There's a story like that from the Taras Chacham, that the madrigas the Yehudim that can be accomplished during the 6 days of the week could be more b'shleimus than the Yehudim of Shabbos. It's not for now. But there is such a thing that Rechaim Elazhin is saying that, seeing this amazing thing also, is that who hears the message first? Even before that, the sun, right? The birds, right? And then the shoemaker, chaps, and then Reb Chaim Volozhin, right? And then his Rebbetzin. So you see a side, mamash eshes chayal teres bala, right? So you see that, like, mamash, you see that there's such a thing, that the lowest, the lower realities sometimes pick up on things more than the Gemara says that when Elyonovi's in the city, dogs bark. So the Moral says, why would dogs bark? Why not the tzaddikim should know when Elyonovi's in the city? And it's just because dogs don't have any seichel. So sometimes the less seichel, the less madregas, the more in tune you are with what's going on. So the first thing to know about Mashiach is the sun and the flay and all this, and then the shoemaker, then Reb Chaim, then his wife. Right? So it's like, and that's what happens. Like the wife goes with her big day Shabbos, and Reb Chaim goes with his big day chol. So it's such an Indian that story of that which is lower, right? Like in a cave and so on, and the big day chol. There's a lot of nekudas in the story, but it's not enough for Mashiach to come where only Reb Chaim knows about it. It has to be in such a way that it's bottom up to make sure that everything is part of the story. That's why it takes long. That's why it takes long. That's why. Why is it that one of the ways in which the gula process is described is that it's slow, kima, very slow, and I'll be derech hateva. Why? Why? Part of it is because when it's natural and when it's slow, then everything is part of that process. And there's nothing left out in the cold. I don't mean left out in the cold. Again, like I said, not left out in the cold, ki'ilu is going to be a reality that's still in Golis. That's not it. But that it should be, that they should participate in it. Like nature itself should participate in the gula. All right? So that's also, that's Asher Techbaz. Okay, we should be able to see with our own eyes.